The Bible, the Word of God, is the textbook for life. It is the textbook for victory, and who knows that we need victory today. It is the textbook for our relationships one with the other, and it is the textbook of how we should live and how we should die. It's the textbook for life. God, through His Word, has given us, that is given to us, He challenges us. Who's ever read the Word of God and felt very challenged? I do. I read scriptures. You know, love is patient. And I put my name in there, Sue is patient. And I cringe because that's not one of my best qualities. I want it done yesterday, not tomorrow, yesterday. So we need to read the Word of God for it to speak to us. So it challenges us. The Word of God is good for correction. The Bible tells us that. It's good for instruction in righteousness. It teaches us what is right and it teaches us what is not right. So unless we are reading the Word of God, there are some things we will never know and we will never learn. We all need to have a personal relationship with God's Word. Just hearing it preached once or twice a week is not good enough. Just, you know, like we come together and yes, the preaching is great and I love this morning's sermon. How just is our God? He gives us what we deserve. He gives us more than what we deserve. And yes, I get on the iPod and I listen to the preaching. I love the preaching of the Word of God, but there's nothing that takes the place of reading the Word of God for yourself. Paul, a great man, he left a legacy, and he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." And he said three things. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I kept the faith. Henceforth, because of all that, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous, the just judge, shall give me at that day, not only to me, but to all of us who would look and love his appearing. There's instruction there. Life is a battle. Life doesn't come easy. Who struggles sometimes with life? Things go against us. Things hurt us. People hurt us. Look, I wanted it to rain all day yesterday, but it didn't. Well, it rains on the just and the unjust, but there are things we struggle with in life, and most of it is to do with the eye and everything. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, in order to fight the good fight, to lay hold of eternal life, whereunto we are called. And unless we read the Word of God, we will not know what we need to lay hold of. The Word of God is life to us. Let's consider the importance of the scripture in our life. Think about how different your life would be if you could experience the following: a prayer life that was so strong and meaningful. When you prayed, you knew the heavens would hear. There has been times in my life when I've prayed and my prayers have not gone any further than the ceiling. But when we are in relationship with God and with His Word, we know that our God hears us. What about when we think about life, the outlook on life, that there is hope for us? People say, oh, this world is in a bad way. And yes, it is. And sometimes I think of our children and our grandchildren, what they have to grow up in. But you know what? The Word of God tells me there is hope. The Bible tells me that that which I commit to Him, mums and dads, He will keep against that dreadful day. What about a confidence and a surety to have faith with your friends, Some of us have unsaved family members. What about when the Word of God says, you will be saved and your household? We don't know that unless we read the Scriptures. And when we read that Scripture, we can say, God, you said that I would be saved and my household would be saved. I claim it in Jesus' name because His Word is true. Amen. What about wisdom to make good decisions? We all need wisdom, right? If we lack wisdom, ask of God. In James, it tells us, and He will give it to us. What about the defense against temptation and sin? This is what we learn in the Scriptures. A deeper and an intimate relationship with the God of the Word. There are some benefits available to anyone who desires to dig deeper into God's Word. Brother Woodward, I was listening to his preaching this week, and he used an acronym, SOAP, S-O-A-P. And Brother Morty has put it up here for me, for you, so you will not forget this. Every time you wash your hands or wash your face and you use soap, I want you to think about this. S stands for read the Scriptures. A chapter, a verse, the amount is not important. But if you take time to read the Word of God, then read it and understand it. Don't let it just be the tick of a box. I did it. And you don't even know what you read. Who's guilty of ever reading a whole chapter and look back and think, I have not a clue what I read? Guilty? Guilty? Okay, O, observation. Observe what the Scripture that you have just read says. Analyze it. Think about it. How does that word speak to you? What is God speaking to you about? Observe what you have read. If you read one verse, then go back and read it and read it and ask God how you can, A, apply it to your life. What is the application of God's word? How do I need to apply what I have just read? And then P is very simple. Pray. Pray what you have just read. Pray it back to God and ask God to give you strength. Talk to God about it. Ask God to give you insight as to what it means. There are some very beautiful promises in the Word of God, and we need to understand what God wants for us. Billy Graham, that great evangelist, worldwide evangelist, he said the Bible is the only thing that can combat the devil. Quote the Scriptures and the evil one will run. We know that. But how many of us don't do that? Like we heard this morning. We know things, but sometimes we don't do it. We live in condemnation because it takes action. We need to do some things. Hiding God's word in your heart is not just memorizing it. And you know I am big on memorizing. I have our grandchildren come around constantly. And even young Daniel, he's just 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's the word of God. Yes, he's memorizing it. But I pray for the day when he not only says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It becomes more than words. And brothers and sisters, we need to memorize the word of God, but we need to understand what we are memorizing. Memorizing is great. I love it. I do it. But we need to understand and get the meaning of what we're memorizing. I don't know this for sure, but I have heard this, that even sometimes people who are intoxicated can actually quote Scripture. That's terrible, isn't it? That's so sad. So it's not just a case of quoting. It's a case of getting it into our lives. The devil quoted scripture to Jesus. He said, "It is written." That's when Jesus was taken up into the holy city, and you know the devil comes to him to tempt him, and he says, "If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down." And then the devil says, "Oh, it is written, the Lord will send his angels to take care of you." The devil knew what the word of God says. How much more do we need to know what the word of God says? Like when my husband was preaching this morning, he says, when the devil comes to remind you of your past, then you just go ahead and remind him of his future. The word of God tells us where he's headed. We need to live scripture. Our life is seen long before people ever read their Bible. And if we are being hypocrites, people will call us on that. They'll say, "I thought you were a Christian." You get angry, you get unforgiving, you get attitudes, and you go to work and you start blah, 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 blah to somebody. And they're thinking all the time, "But I thought you were a Christian." The world has standards for us. They expect more from Christians. People want demonstration of the Word of God, not quotations. We need to demonstrate the Word of God. We need to demonstrate that we love one another. Amen. And the Bible says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." Why? If we have love one to another. So we need to get the scriptures. Yes, we memorize them, but we need to get them into our subconscious so that we live by the scriptures. I think the word is, it needs to be our default mechanism. You constantly do those things. I hear this word around a bit, default. Oh, it just goes back to defaults. Okay, let your default be love. Let your default be mercy. When people hurt you, let your default be turn the other cheek. Amen? Hiding God's word in your heart. The psalmist, and I love the Psalms, he says, "Thy word is more precious than honey and the honeycomb. It's much sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb." In Psalm 119, verse 11, this is David's secret. He said, "Thy word I have hid in my heart." Why did he hide the word of God in his heart? That he might not sin against the Lord. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? David was asking the Lord, and he says, "By living according to the word," or "thy word." That's Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11. Verse 10 says, "I will seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray from your commandments." If we have a relationship with the God of the word, we will not stray from God's commandments, because it will be our desire to please him. It's probably one of the most profound, deep scriptures. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." And a young man, if he will stay in the word of God, will find it'll be in, he'll lead on to purity. My husband said, "I have too much here, but I'm going to do it." The psalmist understood that God's word was the heart and mind of God. And it was profitable for living an overcoming life. Too often, so many of us say, "Under the circumstances." The Bible doesn't tell us that we are under the circumstances. The Bible says, "In all these things, we are." What are we? More than conquerors. We are just not conquerors. But it's only when we have a relationship with the God of the word. In the Old Testament, the word of God was revered. It was real. It was truth. It was powerful. And many times in the Old Testament we read, they ask, is there a prophet? Is there someone who can tell us what God wants us to do? Is there someone who can tell us, shall we go up and fight or shall we not go up and fight? God's word is powerful. We know in Genesis, God spoke his word and spoke the world into existence. His word is powerful. In the Old Testament, the word was given to them as a guide. It was given to them for instruction. It was their inspiration. It was their strength. And when you have a word from God, when you know that God has spoken, you are confident. When you know that God has called you to do something, you can be confident because his word never fails. God's word gives us protection, and it's a means of prosperity and success. And here I go, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night, that you will observe to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. What is it? The word of God. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Verse 33. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. Do we want to live in this land and be successful? Of course we do. We want to glorify God. King David said that the word of the Lord was flawless. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31, the word of the Lord is flawless. He finds no fault with the word of God. It was considered fulfilling to the soul to make one wise, complete, and totally secure. Psalm 19, verse 7. Psalm 119, verse 16, it says, I will delight myself in your word. I will not forget thy word. The word of the Lord, his commandments, his statutes are not hard for us if we have relationship with him. Psalm 119, verse 50, it says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Your word has revived me, and it brought me to a place of life. The word of God will give us life. The word of God will revive us. Psalm 119, verse 5, if you're feeling like you're in darkness, what it is, the word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The word of God gives us light for our journey through life. I'd like to just add here that remove not the ancient landmarks. The word of God has set down standards for you and for I, or you and for me, and we should abide by those standards. We don't have to try and wiggle our way around what the scripture says. What the scripture says is what the scripture says. Don't try and find wiggle room. We're pretty good at that. I know. I've tried it. Scriptures declare that God's word is forever settled in heaven. So we don't have to take away from it and we cannot add to it. It is settled already. The Bible says, you know, the flowers will fade and the grass will wither, but forever thy word is settled in heaven. We cannot change God's word. The Old Testament teaches us that when everything else fades and fails and disappears, that God's word will stand. This is talking about God's word in terms of his promises. God's promises will never fade. What he said yesterday and what he said years ago still stands today. When he said years ago that you are my beloved, that still stands today. When it says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, that still stands today. For God did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That still stands today. There is salvation for our loved ones. There is salvation for us today. The Word of God declares that. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. I like the first bit, sharper than any two-edged sword. But you know what? The Word of God, when we allow the Word of God to be applied to our life, it discerns our thoughts and the intents of our heart. The writer of Hebrews wants us to know that the Word of God is alive, living, active, effective, energetic, efficient, and powerful. He tells us it is sharper. Sometimes we say things with our mouth, but our heart is not there. Go to the Word of God. It will discern. It pierces and penetrates, reaches deep into the depths of our heart and makes all things open and bare. God's word is dynamic and powerful, that it has the ability to change. God's word, his love, can change. And I've heard it before, he can take someone from the guttermost and place them to the uttermost. God's word, his love, his mercy can change us. When we read what God's word says about us, it's our love letter. I remember when I first got saved, I would read it, I would devour it. And when I would read, he said that I am his beloved and he is mine, that delights my heart. When I read in John chapter 10, it says, my sheep know my voice and I know theirs. How does that work? God, so high and so mighty, he knows us individually and he knows what each of us needs. So it's the hidden treasure. There are hidden riches in the Word of God. If you need promises today, get into the Word of God. It is alive. It will speak. I think my husband said, one of his teachers said, it's the only book that talks. And this book, if you will allow it, will talk to you. Paul received a word. He said to them in Acts 27, verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. He had a word from the Lord. For there shall be no loss of any man's life, but the ship will go down. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am, whose I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought unto Caesar, and God hath given all these that sail with you. He went through that shipwreck knowing that nobody would die because God had not finished with him. He had a word from the Lord. Daniel in chapter 10 also had a word from the Lord. And the Bible says that word was true. But the scripture goes on to say, but the time was long. And sometimes that's what happens. We get a word from God, young men and young women. Sometimes you have had a promise from God that God wants to use you in certain ways and do certain things in your life. But it doesn't come to pass yesterday or tomorrow. It takes time for these things. But nevertheless, don't give up. It's true. The word hid means to hide, to conceal, so as to keep secret or private. It also means to hide one's thoughts and purposes and designs in one's heart. It also means to lay up treasures in your heart. And that's when you have that word from God, that becomes your treasure. If you know that God has his hand on you for a ministry in a certain way, don't give up. Hold on to it in your heart. The word is true. How many of us believe that God has a plan and a design and a purpose for your life? I think just a few weeks ago, Brother David Kent preached about, what are we doing here? Are we just living X amount of years and then we die and go to the grave and hopefully make it into heaven? Is that all life is about? No. God has plans for you. According to Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Young people, we have a plan. God has a plan for you. Don't waste your years. Can I ask you, what are you hiding in your heart? What is it that you hide in your heart? Is it the word of God? Or we all have secrets. Some of us have secret hate in our heart toward people. Some of us have secret unforgiveness toward people. What about secret bitterness? It's one of the best kept secrets in the churches today. Secret jealousy or envy, secret prejudices, secret uncontrolled lusts. Our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. The Bible talks about that. But we are to hide the word of God in our heart. Because if we have the word of God in our heart, we will not have these secret sins. The truth is that secret sins are not really secret sins. You know why? Because God knows everything. He knows our heart and he wants to deliver us and set us free from those things. Scriptures talk about the righteous being as bold as a lion, but the sinner runs when nobody's even chasing him. Today, brothers and sisters, young people, we can be as bold as lions because the word of God says we can. Psalm 90, verse 8, the psalmist declares, you know all about our sins. You see every one of our secret sins. The Bible teaches us that if we don't deal with it, then God will reveal it. And this scared the life out of me as a young Christian. In Ecclesiastes 12, 14, it says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret sin thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. But this is what used to scare me. And Jesus said in Luke 12, Jesus said this, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. There is nothing hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which you have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed on the housetops. My goodness, that scares me. Things that I have said in my heart, God knows those things. But unless we go to the word of God and ask him for forgiveness, he will shout them from the housetops. Your heart. The psalmist gives us a way where we can overcome sin. Psalm 119, verse 11. If you don't know this scripture by heart, please put it into your memory and memorize it. Thy word, O God, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The psalmist hid the word of God in his heart to protect him, to keep him and shield him from sinning against God. That's what, if we have the word, you either have the word of God but we need the God of the Word as well. We must not allow God's Word just to be black ink on paper. We must not allow the Word of God just to be head knowledge, but we need to have it in our heart. If God's Word is going to be effective in keeping us from sin, it's got to be a treasure hidden in our heart, not something we just occasionally look at. We must have relationship with the Word of God. It's got to be a hidden treasure where we find our comfort and our strength. How does the Word of God become a treasure in our heart? Very simply, read it, believe it, and don't just say, I did it today. Read it, try and get understanding. I want to encourage all of God's people here. And as we go into a new year, and I know that many of us take up reading the Bible in 1 year, you know, 365. Well, I didn't start in January. But, you know, like many of us decide we're going to read the Bible this year. But I'm challenging you, just don't read it and tick it off that you read that chapter or you read that verse. Read it and apply it. Hide it in your heart. When you come across a promise and a scripture that says, right to your situation, take it, observe it. So let's look at that soap style. This is what you young people, I want you to take this. Even if it takes you 2 years or 3 years to read through the Word of God, I don't care, but let's do it according to soap style. The main thing is to read it. Everybody say, read it. Am I being too hard on you? Read the Word of God. Have relationship with the God of the Word. For in it is life and peace. Then when we read it, whether it be one verse, one chapter, one book, whatever you choose to do, observe what you have read. Okay. Here, I'll just read this one. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Well, how does that apply to me? I can work that out. I'm sure you can. So you need to observe the Word of God. And then A, application. Apply it. If I'm a person who has strife, then start to deal with that. Allow God to do that. And then P, pray about it. Go back to God and say, God, help me. If you want me to be a peaceful person, then God, help me to be that peaceful person. We need to meditate on God's word if we are to be successful Christians. If you want to be an overcoming Christian, the only way, it's not through songs, it's not through dancing, it is through the Word of God and relationship with the Word of God. If we can just get it into our heads and into our heart that the Word of God is powerful. If you are fighting the enemy on all fronts, get into the Word of God. Find the God of the Word. Meditate on His Word. It will help keep our hearts right. If we have relationships that are going south, then get into the Word of God. It will keep our attitudes right. Meditate on God's Word will give you insights and wisdom that will guide every turn of your life. Young people, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? By reading the Word of God. Every turn of our life, we need to go to what the Word of God says. Meditating on Scripture will help you fill your mind with the things of God. And if we all turn right now to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It Some of us will know this one. This is what the scripture says about the way we should think. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Brothers and sisters, if you want to know how to get the peace of God in your life, begin to look at the scripture and start to think on the things that are good, the things that are just, the things that are right, the things that are pure. The Word of God has it all for us. Amen? So that's my instruction for young people and for us older ones. Get the Word of God, not just memorizing in your head, but get it in your heart so that you can live by the Word of God. Thank you.